A reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him closely. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God. Today's scripture has a heavy emphasis on humility. The word itself is related to humus, which means earth or dirt. To be humble is to be down to earth. Today's readings approach humility from two different directions: humbleness of self and living in humility for others. Sirach tells us that while we should conduct our affairs with humility, we also mustn't try to be more than we are. We are sufficient as God created us. Again, in Hebrews, we are told we don't have to struggle to approach God as in the Old Testament, where the divine is represented by a blazing fire and gloomy darkness, and storm and trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard them begged that no message be further addressed to them. Instead, we now hear that we enter the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with countless angels and festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. We are gathering in celebration. All is now perfected through the new covenant created by Jesus. The last lesson in Luke is a parable that Jesus told to explain how we are to act with humility, how we are to express our true selves as extensions of God and revelations of God's creation. Fundamentally, we are to rest in what we are, sufficient as created. This isn't to say that we're a finished product. What it does say is that the essential part of us, our soul, the spark of the divine, doesn't need improvement. We can't improve on that by our own efforts. Matthew 6, verse 27 asks, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature?" Our essential self is whole, complete, and entire. We are an expression of God within God's creation. In Sirach, we are told, "What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. Rather, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God." We need to learn to live within ourselves, to know who we are deep down. Not the labels we have accumulated over our lives, but our truest, most essential core. In one of the Journey to Understanding sessions, one of the exercises was to respond repeatedly to someone asking us, "Who are you?" Everyone had lots of ready answers the first few times they were asked. But the longer the exercise went on, the more difficult it was to find a reply. Even while I'm standing here talking to you, I'm aware that I still don't have a really good answer to that question. It's as though I can intuitively feel it but can't express or define it. For my part, I have come to accept that I'm just not going to figure it out. I must just have faith that if I actively strive to embrace and express that spark of spirit within me, it will keep me centered in who and what I am supposed to be. It's like the old saying, life is a journey, not a destination. This phrase, attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson, places the emphasis on the experiences of our lives which stimulate us to grow. We must actively be becoming, rather than trying to meet a specific goal or a particular objective. Who we are and who we will become is more important than what we have or what our accomplishments are. When we hold true to that center, we will be able to show the humility that Christ spoke about in his parable. He warns us of the pitfalls before us if we become too confident of our well-deserved position in this world. At this meal with the Pharisees, he witnesses the guests jockeying for the seats of honor. He even gives a practical, real-world reason not to be so pushy. Just picture this. There you are, reclining comfortably on your couch at the head table with the host. When suddenly, a group arrives that includes George Clooney, Oprah Winfrey, and Judy Dench. How long do you think you're going to keep your seat? You're going to be told to move your sorry self to make room for these folks who are obviously more important than you are. Won't that be embarrassing? I suppose that example is for those of us who need a more self-serving reason to think twice about how to believe how great we are. It reminds me of a song by Mac Davis that many of you probably remember. It goes, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." The center of our being, the spark of divine, will hold us true if we devote our attention to it, listening for the voice of the Spirit to direct us. On a more somber note, after Mac Davis, is a poem by W.B. Yeats, which paints a dark picture of what happens when we lose sight of the center. He wrote a poem that has stuck in my memory since I first read it in high school. It's called The Second Coming. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. The last two lines might even be seen as a summary of what is going on in our society today. No, I'm not proclaiming or predicting the end of days, like Yeats, who wrote that poem in 1919. However, it is a vivid and frightening reminder of what can happen when we ignore the gift of the Spirit which we each have within us. When we allow ourselves to be distracted, we are like the falcon flying farther and farther from the falconer until the connection is lost. Now, pulling back from that dark image, let's get back to the gentler words of today's scriptures. The gospel goes to the heart of what should really motivate us. Society encourages us to climb that ladder of success, to become more influential and accumulate material goods, to demonstrate how powerful and important we are. But Jesus, instead, calls us to descend that ladder. We will find him at the bottom, among the lowly and the least. Are our actions the result of a desire to truly serve others? To offer help because it is needed, to lift up the oppressed, to comfort the grieving, to feed the hungry and give hope to those who despair? Or is there a part of us that is secretly hoping others will notice how generous, gracious, and good we are? If so, we aren't acting with humility. That's not to say what we're doing is bad or unhelpful. It's merely that our motives may be a little mixed. When we are acting with sincere humility, we are motivated because our action will benefit another. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." We listen because someone needs the support of a friend. We offer our time that the needs of someone else will be satisfied. Our money is donated because it lifts another from want. True humble service always looks at the good of another as the goal, helping the spiritually poor, the physically needy, the sorrowful, the oppressed, the marginalized. Living in humility means living to benefit others and fulfill their needs. We seek to fill a void with what is needed at that moment of time. Our focus is outward. We are giving a banquet for those in need because Jesus calls us to a generosity that expects nothing in return, to a love that honors those who cannot repay us. He urges us to go beyond our circle of comfort and to welcome those who have nothing to offer us in return. That is giving with true humility. Now we must remember that we aren't perfect in either our behavior or our motives. And more importantly, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. But if we want to live in right relationship, we are expected to try to become more aligned with our Creator and with our center. That divine spark we were gifted with at our creation. What our hope must be is that in striving for union with the Spirit, we become more fully united with creation. We can become more completely what God intended us to be. We have been created and called to love one another as God loves us. We are called to be humble because our potential is built on God's original gift to us. We didn't create ourselves and can't grow one cubit without the help of the Spirit in our lives. The awareness of that dependency is what will keep us humble as we serve those around us and help us to find our place. Our place is not in the front of the room with the bigwigs, not basking in the glow of admiration from others, but in sitting quietly with Spirit at the center of our existence. We are called to serve with the humility demonstrated by Jesus. Our scriptures today are attempting to teach us two things. First, we are part of God and the Spirit that embraces all creation, and as such, we are valuable and worthy of God's love. We can meet in God's kingdom with celebration and joy. We are told that humiliation and fear aren't the same as humility. Second, as we grow in union with the Spirit, we will learn to serve others in true humility. We will learn to share the gifts of the Spirit and creation with all the people of God and grow the kingdom. Please share your thoughts.